B-Pod Studios.
We cheer when they win. We lose it when they don't.
Come into Foxborough and defeat it in the past.
And we do it together.
I just definitely appreciate all you guys that have done.
We're Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Felger, Adam Jones, and Hook here on Felger and Mass. Start off talking about the NFL preseason getting cut to two games. Of course, Cam Newton, Jared Stidham on the table. A little bit of that first take thing from today on there. Whatever you want, to your calls as promised. Teddy in Watertown on the Patriots quarterback situation. Hi, Teddy.
Felger, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Patriots had the top-ranked defense in the NFL last year. Josh McDaniels has his pants off game planning with a fast and hopefully healthy QB this year. I get it. We live in the Brady era for 20 years. I get that. But does the quarterback matter this much this year? Look at our division. Can we not win the division in 12 games or more off defense alone? God forbid you plug a subpar quarterback this year. With our coaches, points going to go on the board no matter what. Rex Grossman went to a Super Bowl. Is this the same defense this year?
I think their defense took a step back. But I think your general premise of, did they need Tom Brady? Of their, how many divisions have they just won? 18, 17, 16? What's the number? Do you know off the top of your head?
No, whatever it is. But it's high.
Okay, let's call it 18. Of those 18 division championships, how many did they need Tom Brady for? I mean, maybe a handful? I mean, I'm talking the division. I'm not talking the Super Bowls. All right? So just, you know.
Half of them?
I don't know. Last year they didn't need him.
Maybe. The Bills were right there with him last year.
So I don't think they needed him last year. It's debatable. But, I mean, there's some years, Jones, where they're, you know, the thing's over by November 1st.
That's true.
I mean, and there's so many of these games that are 42-17, and it's just you could be the quarterback. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is my whole premise of that I thought they were going to win the division if Brian Hoyer was their quarterback. And certainly not as easy as they have in the past. And maybe it goes down to the last week or two. But, I mean, just to get to that division level, the quarterback has not been the key piece. When you're talking about the Lombardi trophies, now we're talking about something different. The fourth quarter against Seattle, the AFC title game in Kansas City, on and on and on. I'm not going to give you a whole litany of those. But the ins and outs of the regular season to win the division and get a home playoff game, I think they could have done that with a lot of quarterbacks. But obviously that's not our goal. You know, I mean, the goal should be higher than that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I had them winning the division with Stidham. I wouldn't have with Hoyer. And I think, you know, now you're talking about, can you go on a run? Which I still want to see it play out with Cam Newton before I say they're going on a run. But, like, I thought they were 9 or 10 wins and my pick to win the division pre-Cam Newton signing. Now you're talking 10, 11, maybe 12 wins, and maybe you're winning a playoff game now. Maybe you're going to an AFC title game, which I didn't think that was your ceiling with Stidham.
Right. Now I think the bye is on the table, which is,
right.
as we know, huge. Jordan in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, what's up? I just heard Jones say he's not scared of the LA teams. Jones, I'm just wondering, who's guarding Anthony Davis on the Celtics? Daniel Tice? Let me know how that's going to go. That's a 40-point triple-double right there. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. Didn't the Celtics handle him pretty well when they played him earlier this year?
What are you talking about, bro? And also,
well, I don't know. I mean, answer my question. Didn't they handle him pretty well? I thought they did. I got to look at the box score.
Anthony Davis ate against the Celtics. They killed the Celtics in Staples. That's a fact.
And then didn't the Celtics whoop them here?
So I think I like the Celtics and the Lakers.
The Lakers won by two in L.A., first of all.
To me, the Lakers can be had, especially because they keep losing. Avery Bradley's not going to play, and they just brought in. Why does LeBron keep attaching himself to that bozo J.R. Smith? Like, didn't J.R. Smith cost him one championship?
Yeah.
At the time, you know, like, why does he bring that guy back?
He cost him a game in an NBA Finals. They weren't going to win championship either way, but yeah.
Okay, I exaggerated there for effect. But, you know, Avery Bradley out and Dwight Howard's on the fence. Like, and I think you matched up decently with them before. I think the Clippers are much tougher out for you than the Lakers.
So Anthony Davis is two games against the Celtics. And I agree. I think the Clippers are tougher. The Celtics played the Clippers tough, too, now. Look, I'm not telling you the Celtics are winning the championship. I think the Bucks are the team to beat, but the L.A. teams don't scare me. The Celtics whooped them one game. The Lakers, 139-107. Anthony Davis, 3-for-7, 9 points and 4 rebounds. So, I don't know. They handled him that game. The other game, he had 32-13, but he went 10-25 from the floor. So, he needed a million shots to do it. Like, I don't know. I think Davis might get his points, and LeBron will get his points, but I think the Celtics match up well with both those teams. I think the Bucks are the bad matchup, and I think Philly's a bad matchup.
Really? So the Bucks and Philly scare you more than Bucks than Lakers, Clippers?
I just think Philly's a bad matchup for the Celtics. I don't know that I'd say they scare me more than the Lakers or Clippers, but like, I don't know. Like, I just think Philly's a good match for the Celtics. They beat them 3 out of 4 this year. I think Joel Embiid is a much tougher matchup than Anthony Davis because Joel Embiid, despite his propensity to go out to the 3-point line, will body up a little bit more on the post than Davis will. So,
and they'll come in fully healthy with this break.
That's a good point, too. Like, I mean, and I think most teams probably are relatively healthy, but they were not. They wouldn't have been. I just think they're a bad matchup. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Celtics are going to have more trouble getting out of the East than they would with those LA teams. Yeah.
Okay, Mike and Quincy wants to weigh in on the Cam Newton celebration thing. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. Just a quick question. How is the Cam Newton doing the Superman thing, and obviously not the team celebration, but just him individually doing the Superman thing, different from Brady spiking the ball and yelling, "Let's go," into the crowd after a touchdown? Because that's my larger question. I feel, in my mind, they're pretty much equivalent, and I feel like you're saying no to Cam Newton doing the Superman thing, and there's been no commentary about Brady or Gronk spiking the football, and they certainly put a little flavor and panache on those things as well. Thanks so much.
Okay. Well, I just think, you know, where's the line, right? But to me, the line is the spike is below the line.
Well,
a spike, I mean, I don't know. I have an easy
line for you. Like, is Tom Brady known for the spike? I mean, Gronk, no. I guess, kind of is. I mean, Gronk took the spike to the next level. But like, yeah, Cam's known for the Superman thing. So, I don't know. I mean, one is something that, like, the whole league does. The other is something one guy does. So, I would think that's a line. I, by the way, don't care if Cam does it. I would encourage the Patriots to let Cam do it, for the record, because if you want Cam to be himself, I wouldn't deconstruct what he is. I wouldn't do that with a lot of players. If you want Cam to be Cam Newton, let him be emotional. Let him celebrate. That's what you brought him in. You brought in Cam Newton, so let him be Cam Newton. That's my personal opinion on it. But, I mean, to me, there is a difference between celebrating and doing the Superman after a first down and spiking after a touchdown. Like, that's a big difference.
So now, I understand on this show you can't ask any question without it being perceived as though you're asking a sarcastic question.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Were you equally dismissive or did you equally dislike the three outfielders of the Red Sox doing their
obviously
coordinated? Yeah, you did hate
thing.
That.
Because I hated that so much.
Oh, it was so cringeworthy. We could, if I wanted to make Jimmy do it, I'm not, and I won't, we could go back and pull bit after bit after bit of us. Oh, my God. You mean you didn't like Andrew Benintendi? Hee-hee! Like, oh, and, you know, never mind the choreography. You know, one guy's going to film him. You know, oh, my God. I think my line was that I'm going to try and recreate my line because I only have a few. I think my penis shrunk every time I saw them do that. I lost a little bit of manhood every time I saw Andrew Benintendi, and Jackie Bradley, like, film him. My testicles shrunk every time I saw that. Not only was it choreographed and it was so, oh, my God, it was just a bad dance on top of it all. Oh, my God, I hated that.
People the line is, and the reason I ask, the line is choreographed or not. Like, you know, and I'll take it back to baseball for a second, because there are a lot of people. Baseball, I think, is the one that's worst at. You're not allowed to show any emotion. You're not allowed to celebrate. But those players that are flipping bats and are really just into the moment, I have no problem with that. And the same would apply to football. It's when you have taken time before a game, when theoretically you should be, you know, getting ready for that game, working on the game plan, and you're like, okay, I'm going to stop thinking about the game plan for a moment. I'm going to think about what sort of choreographed celebration I'm going to have. Mm-hmm. That's the line for me. If it's true in the moment, excitement, do whatever the hell you want. Like, if in the moment you want to ride somebody like a horse, have at it. But if you planned it ahead of time, I have no interest.
So the closest comp to me with Newton and the Superman is Aaron Rodgers' championship belt. Those are very similar. Part of Bill's thing is, don't turn it into a taunt. And I think it becomes a little bit of, I've just scored, I'm Superman in your face, like, and look, I'm the champion in my belt. Like, I think that turns into a little bit of a taunt, maybe more than a little bit. And I my guess is Bill doesn't want you doing anything that he would have used against an opponent. You know, I remember clear as day. I mean, the game's going back in history. The Eagles Super Bowl, they were doing the Eagles thing all game because they used that Eagles celebration against them when they beat San Diego in San Diego in 2006. They all came off the field doing doing the Sean Merriman lights out thing. Bill uses those dances against the opponent. And so my guess is that's part of his thing as well. Don't give them any extra. Don't give them any extra by turning your celebration into a taunt. And I think they have that part right. And again, I think I'm in the minority. Aesthetically, I'm not into the... Oh, my God, the Red Sox outfielders. Oh, you just brought back some bad memories, Hook. No, that thing was the worst. Oh, my goodness.
Where was all the outrage and canceling on Andrew Benintendi doing a Michael Jackson tribute there?
Oh,
you want to cancel somebody.
Oh, that way I lost a little bit of manhood every time I watched that. Devin in Kingsboro. Go ahead, Devin.
Hey, so I was really surprised to see you guys end up on First Take. I don't think the celebration conversation was anything racist. However, there was one time yesterday, you and Maserati were talking about Newton's athleticism compared to Stidham and Brady, and I know you weren't being racist, but I was just cringing thinking that somebody was going to call in with argument.
Here we go. You know, but yeah. What I think I said was that I think Stidham is actually closer to Cam Newton than people realize. That, and this, we're talking about what offense are you going to install, and does that hurt Stidham playing the Cam Newton offense? And my point was that Stidham is pretty athletic, and he might be okay in a Cam Newton kind of thing. Maybe he might be more okay in a Cam Newton kind of thing than a Tom Brady kind of thing. But either way, the point is, if you want to break out one sentence in there or take one little clip and say this is racist, it's open season, man. You can do it. You can do it. So what am I supposed to do? Not talk about Cam Newton's athleticism? Because someone's going to take a clip? Like, that sucks. That's a hard way to live.
I mean, it's easy, Felger. Just celebrate everything they do.
They being the Patriots.
Yes, just celebrate everything they do. Just rah-rah for the team. And then, you know, what could possibly go wrong there? Nobody will be upset. Nobody will call in and complain.
Okay, we continue. We want to put Bill Belichick here under the microscope. How responsible is he for Cam Newton being here? How much credit do you want to give him for a quote-unquote master plan, a master stroke, him pulling all the buttons? Mm. We'll get to that topic with Jones wants to sink his teeth into this one, and Hook right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Cheer when they win. We lose it when they don't.
Come into Foxborough and defeated the Pats.
And we do it together.
I just definitely appreciate all you guys have done.
We're Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Felger, Adam Jones, and Hook here on Felger and Mass. Start off talking about the NFL preseason getting cut to two games. Of course, Cam Newton, Jared Stidham on the table. A little bit of that First Take thing from today on there. Whatever you want, to your calls as promised. Teddy in Watertown on the Patriots quarterback situation. Hi, Teddy.
Felger, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Patriots had the top-ranked defense in the NFL last year. Josh McDaniels has his pants off game planning with a fast and hopefully healthy QB this year. I get it. We live in the Brady era for 20 years. I get that, but the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It came to the Patriots. What was your first thought?
Oh, my goodness. I like it.
Basically says to all the other teams, you missed an opportunity here that, as usual, the Patriots did not.
They don't know, what I've been through.
We got London on the train.
They don't know.
Hey, listen. We active. Like, what you got going this week? He's like, I'm going to L.A. tomorrow. Me too.
Don't know about the brand new cars we bought. Don't know about the brand new house. Don't know about the brand new chick that I just with some good hair. That's a brand new mouth. Don't know about the brand new cars we bought. Don't know about the brand new house. Don't know about the brand new chick that I just with
some good hair. That's a
brand new mouth. Don't know about the brand new cars we bought. Don't know about the brand new house. Don't know about the brand new chick that I just.
What you look? When you look in the mirror, what you see? When you looking this way, you looking in the mirror.
All right, there's the latest hype video there with Cam Newton and Mohamed Sanu. Very well done. Get you fired up a little bit. Love that connection. Love the fact those guys are already working together. I'm into all that stuff, Jones. I'm into quarterbacks working hard in the offseason and getting together with their teammates. Always they have been. So there you go. There's the latest on that. Let's get to the Bill Belichick thing. One bit of commentary here in the last couple of days has crawled up your tailpipe. What is it?
Well, it's just this idea that, you know, Bill has now, you know, been Bill the genius all over again. And look what he found. The rest of the league is stupid. Bill's smart, which is true, by the way. I mean, that's just true. But I don't know that we needed this example to go with it. Bill's playing chess. Everyone else is playing checkers. You know, the familiar refrain. And how smart is it really, to bring in a former MVP and plug it? And I acknowledge no one else wanted him. No one wanted to pay him. Nobody wanted him. How smart is it really to bring him in, plug him in at quarterback to replace Tom Brady? Like, that's the genius of Bill Belichick? I came up with that in April. I was like, sign Cam Newton. I had this idea in April. So what? Now I am on the same wavelength as Bill Belichick? Of course not. Any idiot could be like, hey, you know what? Cam Newton, he used to be pretty good. Plug him in. Maybe he'll be better than Jarrett Stidham. Like, I legitimately thought of that in April. That's not that hard to think of. I was 3 months ahead of him. So what? Now I'm a genius? Of course not. Bill's not a genius for this. If he found Jarrett Stidham in the fourth round, plugged him in with everything at stake, replacing the greatest of all time in Tom Brady, that would take balls. That would actually be impressive. Finding a former MVP and plugging him in and rekindling some of that? I'm sorry, that doesn't make Bill Belichick a genius. That makes him, you know, every sports talk radio caller in the country in April. Like, that's all that makes him. Like, again, we were talking about this for months before it happened. How brilliant is it by Bill?
Hook, you have a thought?
Well, I mean, first of all, what I think this is called is a straw man argument, because I don't see anybody saying the signing of Cam Newton is
no.
a stroke of genius.
Hook, you're wrong.
That's not
you're wrong.
He's number 10. DraftKings has him number 10 in MVP right now.
Okay, no, that has nothing to do with the brilliance of Bill Belichick.
Schefter there. You just heard Schefter there in that cut talking about it once again. Everyone else misses and Bill Belichick doesn't. Like, that whole narrative. The Herald the other day, you know, Belichick wins again. Like, you're not picking up this commentary?
Well, I mean, but all right, fine. If it's out there, I don't think it's nearly as large as you'll say. But why is he here? I mean, because both of you claim nobody else wanted him. Do you have any evidence anywhere that nobody else wanted him? Because
yeah,
I would ask.
I do.
Or what? That he didn't sign anywhere, right? Is that your evidence?
Not only that, he didn't sign. He was given no offers, according to Schefter. And the only other team he even talked to, according to Schefter, was the Browns. And it was just a conversation. That's it.
Okay, because what I look at it and say, if I'm Cam Newton, am I going to go someplace to be purely a backup? No,
no,
I'm not, right?
Right?
So how many teams even have a competition for a starting quarterback to begin with? Your number dramatically shrinks there. And amongst those teams, and I don't even know how many there are.
So Bill's a genius because he didn't have a quarterback?
Again, I'm not arguing this Bill is a genius thing. That's stupid.
But he left, like, he left the quarterback position bare, that so that's making, a genius move?
You're making it a much bigger thing than anyone's talking about. I'm saying it's a good, smart move, and I don't think that makes Bill Belichick a genius to do it, but I also don't think nearly as many people are saying that merely bringing in Cam Newton, having the stroke of genius to bring in Cam Newton is a thing. I think they're saying it's a good idea.
It's a thing.
But
it's
hang on. So even if it's not a thing now, okay, well, what if he is good this year? That's what you're going to hear. I guarantee that. Look at Bill. No one else wanted him. They brought him in. What a genius.
That is true.
Okay, but no, it's not. It's not. It's the same thing.
If nobody else wanted him and he comes in and plays at an MVP caliber, why is that not then a good move?
It is a good move. It just doesn't make him a genius. Anybody could have saw that coming. It doesn't make him a genius that he signed a former MVP to replace Brady.
Again, what does it make him that every other coach said no?
You just said it. If they have a quarterback that they already felt comfortable with, like how many open competitions were there? So Bill said, I'll leave the quarterback position bare and I'll plug in Cam Newton. That's not that hard. Plugging in Stidham, I would have actually given him a lot of credit. You found him in the fourth round. And I think, by the way, Hook, I think Tom Brady can laugh from Tampa Bay at how they're replacing him. Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. I thought you could just draft any a-hole in the fourth round and plug him in. you need the former MVP. You needed an MVP to replace me? Wow, sounds like it was a bit more about the quarterback than it was about the coaching staff, huh? Like, if I am Tom Brady, I'm having a great 4th of July weekend because I can smell the fear from New England down there in Tampa Bay.
This is the part where I believe in our email string you said the entire league was laughing at the Patriots, right? This is the part the entire league is
Brady's laughing at them. Everybody else didn't want him.
Okay, they're all laughing at him because, and this is where I loved digging up these numbers. The Patriots are idiots for bringing in Cam Newton for, $1 million?
They're not idiots, they're just not geniuses.
The Cowboys got Andy Dalton, who a bunch of people wanted, for $3 million guaranteed. Marcus Mariota, who has won anything ever, anywhere, $7.5 million guaranteed dollars from the Raiders.
Can I ask you?
Jameis Winston got more. Ryan Tannehill, $62 million.
$62 million. Jameis Winston got like $500,000 more. Jameis Winston's the same contract.
Can I jump in, please?
Yeah, go.
So this is Hook's right about this. This is the only thing Bill deserves credit for. The only thing that I'd say he manipulated and played the chessboard was the contract. Okay, I think some other teams, if they wanted Newton, would have jumped in sooner and had to pay more. But Bill waited, knew the market, and got him for a good price.
And so that's not nothing, though. Not nothing.
But I don't care.
Yeah, who cares about the contract? Exactly.
I mean, you're right, but so the Patriots got the contract right. They almost always get the contract right. Like, I'm just not that impressed by that. I'm like, okay, good. They got him at a good deal. I don't take my pants off for them spending less than they have to. Like, that just doesn't do it for me. And I don't want to hear about the cap. There's a million ways. If they wanted to pay Newton $3 or $4 million, they could do it in the snap of his fingers. But they're smart. They got him for a good deal. That's where Bill manipulated things. He knew Newton would have no market. He read the market properly and got him for $1 million when other dumb teams would have jumped in when Dalton was signed and signed him for $3 or $4 million.
Right. So you're saying he was playing chess when all those other teams would have played checkers?
When it comes to contracts, which I don't care about.
Monopoly. He was playing Monopoly with Monopoly money, and no one cares about it because it doesn't really matter. That's what he was playing
until now.
Some contracts do matter. The Tannehill one is ridiculously stupid. Like, and I said that they should have brought in Brady. They're morons. They're idiots. But like, do I really care if Cam costs $1 million or $7 million? No, I don't care. I mean,
you may not care, but there are a lot of people who do care.
Why?
It doesn't matter.
Who cares?
All right. It doesn't matter.
Who cares? Take a look at the roster this year. What happens after you just corner yourself with absolutely no salary cap for years on years and years on end?
Hook, give me a cocktail napkin. I'll create $7 million in cap room on this Patriots team in about 45 seconds. Okay. It's really not hard.
Okay.
I'll cut seven special teamers.
Why do you love playing the game where you go down the list of every single player on the roster and complain that they make too much money? Because you do that about every 3 months.
That's a good segment.
Every 3 months, you do the entire roster of the Patriots. Overpaid or underpaid? Overpaid. Overpaid. Oh, he's overpaid. How about the next guy? Overpaid. Overpaid. Oh, he's overpaid. So you either care about the money or you don't, Felger. Which one is it?
It's a good segment. I care the day that I do the segment because it's a good segment. Overpaid, underpaid. Look, the difference between 1 and 7 is significant. I actually think, you know, if they just want Newton here to compete and potentially back up, then I actually think Andy Dalton's a better fit. And I would have rather paid $3 or $4 million for Andy Dalton than $1 million for Cam Newton, because there really is no difference there. Now we're talking 1 to 7. There, that's a little bit of a bigger gap, and you got to watch that money. But I think Newton's here because they want him to be the quarterback this year, because they had a change of heart on Stidham at somewhere down the line. But there's people here, Jones, who say, and there's people out there, an AFC East coach for crying out loud, who says that Newton's just here to compete and Stidham's still the guy. Do you believe that?
No. No, it's subterfuge. I don't know if it's Flores needling the Patriots, or if it's, and I didn't make this connection, but McDermott was in Carolina for years with Cam. Like, maybe McDermott knows that Cam can easily be screwed with.
Okay, so either way, I don't think that Newton is here for a competition in the real sense of the term. And if they do want him here to be competition and then potentially back up if he loses the job, I don't think he's the right guy. I think Winston would have been a better guy there. Dalton would have been a better guy there. And Mariota would have been a better guy there, because I think they're more willing to back up than Cam Newton. But so fine, they want him to be a starter, and so they got him for a great price. They got him for a great price because they waited and Belichick, you know, played that chessboard properly. But it's just the contract. It's not the player. There's no genius move in signing the last guy standing after everything else goes through the sifter, which is all Bill Belichick did. But let me ask the people. You tell me. Was this a masterstroke? Did this renew your faith in Bill Belichick if you had lost any? if you had lost faith, why do you laugh?
This is what restored my faith in Bill, finding an MVP that I wanted him to do in April. Nice job, Bill. Me and you. If anybody calls Bill a genius, they got to call me a genius.
I'm not asking you. And don't laugh at my facilitation. I'm asking the people. If you had lost faith in Belichick, did this restore it? Or do you think that he, you know, that this would, that he put one over on the league, that this was a masterstroke, master plan? Or did he just back into it, pick something, you know, the last thing standing at the rummage sale, and he's getting credit for it because he's Bill Belichick? Which is it? We'll take your calls on it right after Hook's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the depth chart. You got Stidham, you got Brian Hoyer, you got Brian Lewerke, so a couple Michigan State guys behind Stidham there. Rob Ninkovich is doing the media tour, former Patriot, and this is when I searched for Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham, man, Rob Ninkovich came up in basically every story. There's not a whole lot going on out there. We're just basically writing stories about what he said. But he thinks Hoyer's going to be the starter. And I think he's probably not alone in people thinking, like, okay, they're not going to hand the reins over to Jarrett Stidham. Hoyer knows the system. Belichick's going to feel more comfortable with him. Josh McDaniels. Do you see that as at least a sliver of possibility?
I don't. I don't think there's any way. You know, they didn't know they were going to get Brian Hoyer in free agency. They weren't, like, sold on that. This was the plan. They knew this. Jarrett Stidham had already proved to them enough that he was capable of taking over the reins for Tom Brady. You know, so this was the plan all along.
That's Chris Sims from a couple of weeks ago. So I'm not playing that to make him look bad. I'm doing that to set up the fact that, or the question, before I go back to the phones, which is, Jones, do you think that something changed here with Jarrett Stidham in the last couple months, or that Cam Newton was the plan all along?
No, I think something changed with Stidham, for sure. Now, I don't pretend to know what that is, but something changed with Stidham. I don't know. Like, do you think the Patriots have a line into these workouts, and maybe they weren't hearing great things? He was at the facility for most of the offseason, even before the individual workouts. Mike Reese reported on that a long time ago, so I don't know.
Did he have an injury?
well, this is what I talked about at the time. I don't remember any official injury, so I don't know. I'm sure there's some gray area there, and if anybody's going to take advantage of a gray area, it's the Patriots. But, yeah, he was at the facility this offseason. He's been doing workouts, so I don't know where they saw something where they started to no longer believe or at least question. But, yeah, I think it's more about Stidham, yes.
So, look, to me, it's pretty obvious to me because I trust the reporting, and I would trust the reporters doing the reporting. And Chris Sims has been tapped into the Patriots quarterback situation this entire offseason. I mean, he was really the first that had the whole, you know, Brady wants to go to San Fran chooses not to go with Brady, Brady to Tampa. Like, he really had those dominoes before anybody else. And so I sort of trust him on the Patriots quarterback thing. I'd also say a guy like Tom Curran, who's incredibly tapped and talks to all the right people and is spot on in his reporting, said over and over and over again this offseason, they're out on Cam Newton. And I think Kern was right at the time. And so I think something changed. Because for months, it's no on Newton. Everyone's reporting the same thing. The Pats wouldn't even take Newton's call. Apparently Newton's people were reaching out, and the Pats were, like, not interested. So no on Newton. It's Stidham. They're telling everyone. They're acting that way. Stidham is running the workouts. You know, they were doing some Brady-like, you know, player-only workouts. He was running those things. Edelman's pumping them up. Like, the whole Stidham train was going down the tracks. And then all of a sudden, nope, it's Cam Newton. I'm sorry. I think they had a change of heart on Stidham for this year. And I'm with you. I don't know what that is. Something they saw. It might have been nothing that Stidham did. It's just maybe Belichick woke up one day and said, you know what? It's not good enough. And it's nothing that he showed me. I still like the kid. I still think he has a future. But as I think about it, no, I'm not going to do it. And maybe he just had changed his mind.
I've heard you guys bring this up. Maybe it's about Brady and how Brady is, you know, completely locked in. Because, you know, they're watching each other. You know, Brady's watching Bill and Bill's watching Brady. I mean, maybe it's about that. I don't think it's a coincidence after the Patriots signed, you know, Cam Newton. You know, you see this, the Bucs all of a sudden linked to Antonio Brown. Like, I think there could be an arms race going on back and forth.
So I think the reporting's been right, you know, and I think the guys, Tom Keegan in the Herald and Jeff Howe in the Athletic, I think these guys have been told a lot about Stidham. I trust them as reporters. I think they were told properly. And so I guess I'm disappointed that those guys haven't turned around and said, well, wait a minute. Either you were lying to me for 2 months or something changed. What changed? Let's find out what changed. Because I think something changed. I don't think those guys were lied to for 2 straight months.
Well, you know what their answer is,
You know, I mean, I don't think their reporting was off for 2 straight months. If I were them, I would stand by their reporting at the time.
You know what their answer is?
What?
It's that Cam dropped his asking price.
Yeah,
See, I don't really buy that either, but I'm just that's the answer that people are giving. Well, Cam
went from what to what?
I don't know. From 2 million to 1 million, from 1 million to half a million, I don't know. But, yeah, I don't necessarily buy that it was all that significant of a drop. My guess is he must have dropped a long time ago, but that's been the answer put out there. Cam's asking price changed.
Okay, so I don't feel that way. I feel that the Pats were genuine in how they felt, and the reporting reflected it, and then they signed Cam Newton. So what changed? And it doesn't have to be anything dramatic. You know, we always bring up that Stidham's in Texas for the wedding thing just because it's one little kernel that we know of. That could have nothing to do with it. It probably has nothing to do with it. Does anything have anything to do with it other than Bill just changing his mind? Because, I mean, from, you know, Sims to all these guys, they were so adamant. So adamant. Stidham's the guy. Why can't you see it? Stidham's the guy. Why can't you see it? Stidham's the guy. Why can't you see it? And instead of now telling us, well, what changed, it feels like they're all saying, oh, Cam Newton's here, but Stidham and how they feel about him is exactly the same.
Still the guy.
Which, like, I don't know. That doesn't quite add up.
Did they ever say he was the guy?
Did they?
The Patriots.
Well, no, the Patriots haven't, but, like, who?
But Hook, they don't say anything.
I understand this. But here, well, this is a legitimate question, because did we decide that they thought he was the guy just because he was the one who was left when Tom Brady finally left? If Tom Brady had left when Ryan Mallett was here, would we have thought Ryan Mallett was the guy?
Probably.
Okay.
Well, no. I told you, Hook, that I bought the reporting. Like, I believe in the reporters. I believe in Kern, and I think Howe does a great job. I believe in Howe and his sources with the Patriots. I think Keegan's been in with Bill Belichick. God, you know, we mentioned Keegan in the Herald in that situation yesterday. It just blows that we've lost Keegan at the Herald along with Bill Pett. But I trusted the reporting. I not past tense. I trust the reporting. I think that's what the Patriots were saying, and I don't think they were blatantly lying to those guys. I think that's how they felt at the time, and now they feel differently. So what changed? All right, I promise, I know I promised phones. Let's do it next segment. We'll go right to them in our long commercial-free segment next. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, as promised, phones here. It's Felger, Adam Jones, Marshall Hook, Ibby in Woonsocket. I'm Bill Belichick. Go ahead, Ibby.
What's up, Felger? Just real quick, those comments that they brought up on the first take, nothing about those was racist coming from a black man as well. I agree with Stephen A. I feel bad for you, Felger, because those reporters that you were just talking about had you brainwashed, man. There was no way that Jared Stidham was going to be the quarterback going into this year. His plan, Belichick's plan all along, was Tom Brady. Once he realized that he wasn't coming back, he dropped a load in his pants, and he did not know what to do. There's no way a man who got taken out, he went into the game second string and got taken back out and almost gave up the game. There's no way that man was going to start.
So, Ibby, I agree with that. That the real plan was Brady caving and coming back on a crappy contract. That's what they thought he was going to do. And when he showed up to Kraft's house that night, Kraft even said it. I thought he was coming to, you know, once again, he and I hammer out the last details like we usually do. And when Brady came over and said, no, I'm actually leaving, they were not expecting that. And that Brady coming back on a one-year crappy deal was really the master plan. I agree with that.
It's a good point. Right, like we almost just start post Brady, but right, go rewinding back to the beginning of the offseason, I would agree Brady was plan A.
Okay, but after that, I believe they said then fine, we'll just go with Stidham and Hoyer, and look, I think Hoyer was very much in their plan, was as much in their plans as Stidham, that was going to be a real competition and maybe even Rob Ninkovich.
God, that would have been so gross.
It would have been
Hoyer?
So fun. It would have been awesome.
That would have been fun.
Would have been great.
Ugh. Stidham already beat him last year.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Nothing involving Brian Hoyer is fun. That's just by definition. If it involves Brian Hoyer, it's not fun.
You know what would be fun? Felger and Maz. The games wouldn't be fun. I'm with you. He's not. He's not fun to watch, and those games would not be pleasant. But if the Pats get off to a 5-1 start or win the division with Brian Hoyer, that sure plays in the Belichick Brady argument, does it not?
Yeah,
is it the coach?
That's true. Sure.
Okay, so that's what I'm talking about, Hook. I'm just worried about the talk show, buddy.
Okay.
Michael in the car. Go ahead, Michael.
All right, guys, so let's play that out. Let's say the plan was Brady, and I agree it was. Brady does what's best for him for once. He finally goes and does him. Now Bill has a decision. What's best for the team would it be give Stidham a sink or swim here. If he's no good, there's a great class of quarterback in that shit. What Bill decided was to do what's best for Bill. He's chasing Shula. He realizes this whole thing's coming to an end, and he wants to collect wins on the way out the door. Because Cam Newton, that makes him better, but not good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Hold on, he's the coach. Collecting wins is precisely what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. I don't agree with that either. Like winning this year is better for the team. You know, it might not be better for the long term, but for the guys in the locker room right now, it's better to have, you know, a competent quarterback than just say, yeah, we'll sink or swim with this guy.
Well, and you mentioned it earlier, Jones, and it ties into what I just said. I give Bill credit for putting his argument with Brady to the side, because if he wins with Cam Newton, if Cam Newton goes off this year and has a monster year and the Pats go 12-4 and go to a Super Bowl because Cam Newton went off, Bill doesn't prove anything vis-a-vis he versus Brady. You just went from one MVP to the next. And I think Bill sacrificed that in this. And so, not much of a sacrifice, but you said it earlier. This doesn't play into his argument, and I give him credit for that. He didn't make it about him.
Well, maybe he did. Maybe he was worried he was about to go 7-9.
I think him going 7-9 with one of those guys, I mean, if he has a big year with Cam Newton, it doesn't prove anything about winning without a good quarterback.
I agree, but what if he goes 7-9 and misses the playoffs while Brady's doing something in the, like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, Bill says, I got to get into the playoffs because I'm afraid of what Brady's doing down there, so 7-9 won't fly.
My guess is Bill didn't think he was going 7-9. My guess is Bill thought he was winning the division no matter who was his quarterback.
So is part of the argument when you talk about Brady versus Belichick on the Brady side that he's able to win without all of the typical weapons that a quarterback has? Because if you're going to take away from Bill Belichick winning with, quote unquote, a good quarterback, you know, Cam Newton, former MVP, doesn't it take something away from Tom Brady that he has to go down to Tampa Bay where they have all of these weapons already in place and they have to bring Rob Gronkowski out of retirement? Doesn't it take something away if he wins down there with needing to be surrounded by all these fancy toys?
Yeah, I don't think so, Hook. I mean, it's a fair argument. I don't think that's the way it's going to be viewed, though. I think it's going to be viewed as Brady went somewhere else and won at a high level and shoved it up Bill's tailpipe is how it's going to be viewed. But I think there is something to that. And that's one of the things, one of my problems with Brady in the last couple of years. We had this whole conversation about having to surround him. You know, if you need to surround a guy, then, you know, what's the point of having the greatest of all time or paying him $30 million? The whole idea of having that greatest of all time and paying him $30 million is to surround him with a little less. And he makes it happen. You know, paying a guy to that kind of contract and having to prop him up doesn't do it for me. Jeff in Santa Fe on Jared Stidham. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Hey, good afternoon. First time, long time. Love you guys. Got a serious question about Stidham. Have you ever met him, sat down with him, anybody interview him? What's his makeup? Is he a leader? Is he what? What's the deal with him?
I have no idea. Do you, Jeff? Do you have any insight?
I don't. I mean, I've looked at YouTube like we all have. No. But I don't know if he's just a wet noodle or he's a great guy. I don't know. I think that might come into play. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it totally comes into play, Jeff. They absolutely look at that. One of the, just going way back to Brady, when he ascended from the fourth string to the second string from 0-1, he had taken control of the young guys on the roster, the practice squad guys, and like really led that group and was a total hardo in like practices and practice squad stuff. And they really bought into that, and that's why they promoted him in that second year. So they absolutely look at that. I have no idea about Stidham. None.
No.
Zero.
I never.
Is Stidham a leader? Because that's what I do. I Google things. And it says right here that he's already stepping up as a leader for the Patriots.
Nice.
So
that's
apparently
good.
The answer is yes.
Yeah. I think he called the wrong show. I don't ever leave the studio, so no, I don't. I have not sat down with him, no.
We do our best not to talk to people.
Yeah, exactly.
Tom and Newton, you're up next with Felger and Jones. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hey guys, I had a question on Cam Newton. So the Patriots locker room the last few years, I mean, I wouldn't say it's been bad, but there have been certain sticking points. I mean, I think Brady's drama, you know, didn't really help things. I think, you know, there's guys who think it's not fun, whatever that means, feel like they don't get paid. And you bring in a guy like Cam Newton, and I'm not saying this is the reason, but you'd think that a guy like him who, you know, he's flamboyant and everything, but he's also, you know, much closer to the players and where they're coming from. He's, you know, pretty decent stature around the league. And I have to think you're going to get, you know, better buy-in. Guys are going to be more juiced up and excited to be around a guy like him, maybe more so than Stidham, who it feels like has been a little bit absent compared to, you know, Brady and other guys were getting the workouts in. What do you guys think?
So, I mean, I think Cam Newton is far more likely to have guys follow him. I mean, far more likely. He's, you know, Cam Newton is sort of borderline icon status. It's kind of like when Randy Moss walked into the locker room. I mean, it's guys grew up wanting to be him, and it's not quite as dramatic with Newton, but I don't think there's any question you get more cachet and more buy-in with Cam Newton, just the name, the brand, than Jared Stidham. That's an easy one.
Yeah, I think he's being a little harsh, though, because Stidham has been at workouts. So I think he's being a little harsh about that aspect with Stidham, but no question. Again, I've referenced the social media like a million times. Was Edelman like photoshopping Brian Hoyer in Patriots jerseys when they signed him? No. No, and I don't remember eyeball emojis when they drafted Jarrett Stidham or anything like that from Stephon Gilmore or anyone else. Like, they are excited because, again, everyone can see what Cam Newton is if he's healthy, which does not make Bill Belichick a genius.
Okay, what is Cam Newton when he's healthy? What is Cam Newton even at his best? What is Cam Newton as an NFL quarterback? I want to get to that next hour. But first, we're going to do a quick little update from Hook here. There's 90 seconds. There's no commercials. And I also want to get to next hour. Michael Hurley's still crying about Patriots punishments for cheating. This is, I know, something the Patriots successfully buried, but not here on Felger and Mass. We'll get to all of this after, again, the update. There's no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.